Oh, yeah. I saw your swivel hips moving all over the place. Well, I can't blame you. So were my hips moving all over the place. That was the great, late, electrifying Eddie Harris with Shamtown. This is his composition from 1968, from his album of that year, The Electrifying Eddie Harris. He died tragically on November the 5th, 1996, at the age of 62 from congestive heart failure. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I can't seem to catch up with topics we haven't gotten to yet. And today is one such example. You have your program prepared and ready, and you think you know what's going to happen, and then something comes from left field and eclipses everything you had prepared. But this is a case today. Now, those of you who recall, if your brain is that facile and you're that young and you actually can recall things, the presidential debates, this is after, of course, people had declared they're going to run and so forth. And from that gathering, which included Biden, it included Kamala Harris, and it included some new faces, one of them, Andrew Chang, a businessman from New York City, and others. And it was not particularly riveting, but Chang, to me, because I was asked, well, who did I think was one of the most interesting candidates? And without hesitation, I said Andrew Yang is he would make a great candidate. And then I could see eyes opening wider and wider, as if they never expected me to say that. But that was my true feeling. He was, of all of the candidates who came before the public, he was by far the most interesting, the one with the most novel ideas. He did not come from the establishment. He was young, he was vibrant, and you can see that he was not afraid of work. He was not afraid of challenges. And I thought he was the most impressive candidate of all of the candidates that we saw that night. And so I was a bit taken aback, but not really when you think about it, by Andrew Yang yesterday when he said he was leaving, he was quitting the Democratic Party and moving on. And he will try his luck instead as an independent. Well, the media made its sentiments known in coverage and how they covered that event, as they described him as the candidate who lost a presidential bid, as if that's a big deal. Okay, so did Biden. Biden lost a lot of things in his life. Most politicians, when they reach that stage, have racked up many losses. It's par for the course. But they kept hinting, not hinting, they stated very clearly, Andrew Yang is a candidate who lost. And then some described him also as a candidate who lost a mayoral bid. So now that he's leaving the Democratic Party, in other words, There should be no sense of loss. This was a loser. He lost the big races, and he's aiming now for smaller fish to fry. Okay. I still think Andrew Yang would have made a very good candidate, even though he doesn't have a long history of running for politics and running for political office. He doesn't have that long resume. But you could see, this is a guy who's clear about certain things. And he is absolutely convinced that he could make a difference and is prepared to do just that. That, to me, makes up for a lot of the stuff that people put before us to consider of him, to consider him as a loser. I don't consider him a loser at all. He's bright. He has great ideas. He has the right kind of energy. And more than anything else, he's open. He's open. And therefore brings a fresh breath of air to the political arena. So the Democratic Party doesn't seem that it learns very quickly. It should be disappointed that Yang made that decision to leave the party. It should be very disappointed. And it should see it as an undoubted statement of disgust. Because here you have a guy, all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go, making heavy investments in his own political future, open to meeting all kinds of people, talking about all kinds of ideas, moving forward on a lot of things that the Democratic Party has not been able to do or even contemplate doing. This is great currency for the party, one would think. If you had 10 Andrew Yangs, your problems are over. He appeals to everybody. He talks to everybody. But we have this, and I could only attribute it to fear of the unknown, fear of the other. They will not give this guy a chance. And so he goes to the Progressive Party, or to make some kind of appeal to progressives that he's ready to contribute to political advancement and outside of that tired old formula that has been practiced for so many decades now, and that hasn't yielded much compared to the investment. It was, to my view, a great loss that's what he decided to do. And good luck to him. Good luck to him with his vision, because it is a clear signal he is not going to let other people decide for him what he wants to do or what he can do. The Democrats don't want me. Okay, I'm off. I'm going someplace else. I'm packing up my traps. I'm going somewhere else where I can make a difference or help make a difference. And these Democrats are still stuck in the mid-18th century, it seems. They can't move. They're not gaining ground. Their ideas are dead. They're failing at getting done what they say they're going to get done. They're disappointing the people who have supported them so consistently over the years. And now they're going to make a big thing saying, well, we rebuffed him. He's not good enough for us. No, he's not good enough for you. He's better than you. He is better than you. And you might as well face it, because it's going to be so clear. You resent it. Why is this Chinese guy come from wherever he comes from and thinks that he knows politics, that he can do something in the political arena that could benefit a whole lot of people and basically pick up from where the Democratic Party should have been at least 30 or 40 years ago? And that's how good ideas die. That's how they kill people's spirit. And that's how they wreck the chances of advancement. They take talent and they kill it. And so the media follows up by describing Yang as a failed candidate. You point to anybody you think is a great candidate today, and they'll tell you, if they're honest, and that's a slim chance, how many things they failed at in their political lives. So I see it as a kind of 1-2 punch. Yang finally had to give up, because he finally had to admit to himself, this party, this Democratic Party, and I, we're not compatible. Inevitably, there will be a clash. Inevitably, they will try to get rid of me anyway. And I don't feel that I need to expend more energy to convince people I have something to give. And I will work hard to achieve it. I will bring people together. I will excite the party about its new possibilities and things it can and should accomplish. He doesn't have to work hard to convince people. And as seasoned politicians, if you can't see the value of an Andrew Yang, you don't deserve to be in politics. You're an idiot. Plain and simple. Some people will say, whoa, listen to her go. She is really tight with this guy. I don't even know the man. Never met him. I've observed him. I've observed his actions. I've observed his pronouncements. I've observed the ideas that he has put out. These are the things he's appealing to people, and the possibilities of a better life, a better tomorrow. And they can't stand it. Unless you think I am dancing around the subject, let me be really clear. A large part has to do with the fact that he's Chinese. Who in America takes advice from a Chinese guy who is presuming that he could run for the highest office in the land and the highest office in New York City? He's got some kind of nerve. The racism. It's killing them that they can't say it just like I said it. But that's exactly what they're thinking. And it is so apparent. When I observed Andrew Yang with his presentation. I said, there's no competition here. there aren't any great ideas floating around here except from him. There's no openness except from him. There's no desire to change the rotten cord in this country except from him. That's what I got. And he was fearless about it. So even though he announced yesterday, I'm going to pack up my traps and hit the road and see who will take me in, who will take me up on my vision and what it is I have to offer. We'll see. But that's the guy. That is the guy. Of all the people we have seen so far, no one has had the clarity and the courage as Andrew Yang. Again, I have never met him. I don't know him. And yet he's so impressive. Which makes the negativity of the Democratic Party stand out all the more. Why would you treat somebody with so much to offer with such disdain, unless that is a threat to you? A new way of thinking is a threat. A new way of doing things is a threat. A new appeal to new audiences within the party is a threat. We got to sink this guy now. And don't ever let it leave your mind that what is operating here under all of this is a trenchantly racist sentiment. I'm not about to take advice and accept the leadership of some Chinese guy. It ain't gonna happen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we should understand as the chief undercurrent of Andrew Yang's exit from the Democratic Party. The party cannot tolerate people like that. Brilliant people, smart people with new ideas, willing to work, doing all the things that supposedly America appreciates and values. Not when it comes from a Chinese guy. So I was wondering whether you had a chance to think about this, because I think it warrants close study and it warrants a howl of protest. The media clearly has expressed its view on what side to take, referring to him as the failed presidential candidate and the failed mayoral candidate. They've laid the groundwork so that he could be destroyed before he even gets off the ground, whether as a progressive or as an independent or whatever his new political life may be. The ideas they've already set in motion, the age-old formula for destroying somebody for no reason at all, except they're just too unusual. Nobody, we can't tolerate this. He's going to show up everybody. We can't have this. So I'm interested in what you're thinking. What does it say that a young man with ambitions like any other person should have, and who is equipped? He has funded, by the way, his own ambitions along with a mass of people who came to know him and came to realize in short order, we need this kind of a shakeup in politics, as in American life. We need it. He's brave, he's courageous, he's bright, and he has a lot to offer. And the Democratic Party should be ashamed of itself, but it has no shame, really. It has no shame. It has become like the Republican Party, no shame. You can't possibly have shame as a Republican and still have Donald Trump as your leader. It means your brain is addled. You're useless. This was possibly the beginning of a brand new day. And this young man, with his great ideas and his boundless energy and his growing appeal, would have been just the person to take this wretched party to the next level and beyond. But in true Democratic style, it stabbed itself. It cut its own throat. Rather than take instruction from an Asian man, you deal with that now. I'll take this little break. Come back to your thoughts on the subject. This is not a simple development. This is a major development in politics that happened yesterday. We'll come back and talk right after this. You're listening to PRN.FM, and you're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We're talking about a major occurrence. They're doing everything to make it seem insignificant, but it was a major development yesterday as one-time presidential candidate and mayoral candidate in New York City, Andrew Yang, announced that he was going to quit the Democratic Party and try his luck as an independent instead. Your thoughts on this monumental move, and they're doing everything to make it look ordinary, even crazy, at 888-874-4888. We start off with Zabby from New York. Hello, Zabby. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Utrice.
Hello.
Thank you so much. I feel like I'm calling. I'm part of the family, and you've made me feel so included, and everyone else, and it's so beautiful. I heard you talk about the family, how we've become a family, and I want to thank you again, and I agree with everything you said, so I'm not going to reiterate everything you said, because everything you said was right on. I will tell you that I was going to go to my website, as I had urged everybody to go to runprimaries.webs.com, and I'm not going there to the library because I'm still trying to check about this Delta thing. I'm a little afraid to go, but I'm going to be going, and the first thing I was going to put down was Andrew Yang's idea about open primaries. To have open primaries to get rid of the party system, because the Constitution does not talk about a party system, let alone a two-party system. And in fact, a lot of the people who were there at the beginning were against parties. They came out against parties. They did not want that kind of a division. This is why we have gridlock. And so you bet, Andrew Yang, and by the way, I heard the debates that you were talking about, and most definitely he, but I don't want to, again, take up the time telling everybody exactly what you just said. So I was there. I agree with it. And indeed, the party, I knew right away, looking at this, the Democratic Party is racist. No doubt. And so he now is wanting to start a whole different thing, and we should support his idea, and I'm going to support it because open primaries with ranked choice voting, that's what he also said. Ranked choice voting so that everybody can be included. In fact, that's why I thought, how nice, you're so inclusive too. So everybody could run, even you. Wouldn't it be wonderful? And I know you, I've already asked you, and you said, no, you're not going to be doing that.
I'm running from office.
But here? What was it that you just said? I missed it.
I said I'm running from office.
Well, see, that's exactly what poor Andrew was doing, too, because I still think, though, that the political arena is such that a third-party candidate, I've studied third-party candidates, and I've studied the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, and, of course, they were kicked off the ballot by the Democratic Party this last election. I don't know if you're aware of that, but you probably are. They were supposed to be on the ballot, have a line, a ballot line, you see. So, you see, I have a program on public access now called the No Party Ballot Line. Because it's sort of an idea, sort of in line with Mr. Yang. I named that program in August when the applications were due for public access TV. And so, absolutely, I just want to say yes, yes. And I did want to tell you, too, here's a quote from John F. Kennedy. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Mm-hmm. And here this man was going through the channels, and you see the Democratic Party and the Republican Party make it so that good people, like bright people, smart people, like you were saying, with good ideas, and certainly who are not part of us, quote unquote, and they are the them, they definitely are afraid. They don't give them an opportunity. This is what's happening. We should have everybody should be able to get access to the ballot line. And you see, his idea of open primaries with ranked choice voting do away with parties. That's what it does. He's saying, in other words, there won't be any parties anymore. Everybody will be able to primary. It's like what they do in California.
Thank you for your call and for getting us started today and in the right direction. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
All right, we're hanging in there.
Good.
You know, Andrew Yang is I agree with you, he's a very interesting person, very intriguing, but, you know, I automatically knew that he was never going to win. And not to disparage him in that sense, because of the fact that he seemed like he was too smart for the job. I'm serious. He seemed like he was too smart for the job. And unfortunately, you know, with us surviving the Donald Trump era, George W. Bush, you know, and even, you know, somewhat academic people like Barack Obama, who, you know, is smart academically, but obviously he doesn't have an independent thought in his brain as far as politics. You know, he just, you know, does what people tell him to do. But, you know, he doesn't fit that mold. And also, too, you know, what's probably more glaring, as you mentioned, that he's Chinese. And how could you appoint a Chinese person, even though he's an American citizen, when the United States right now is in a cold war with China? So, you know, on that sense, you know, I never thought he was going to win, even though, like I said, he's a very bright individual and he has some very great ideas, which would never get off the board. But also, too, in argument of Andrew Yang, I think he has the wrong approach in trying to, I mean, if he's genuinely wanting to change the system, I think the problem, too, you know, for him running for president and also running for mayor is he's trying to change the system from inside. And at least for me, that has not worked at all. And you see, you know, these candidates, you see these people who have these bright ideas, and then next thing you know, they capitulate to the system, you know, like what do they call it? They call her AOC, but I can't remember her full name.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Now you're seeing her capitulating to the system recently, you know? And so I think his approach is a little off, you know, in regards to how, you know, if he's genuinely wanted to change the system, you know, this changing it from the inside, you know, is typically not going to work. And also, too.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you expecting him to take a particular approach as if it's the only way for him to succeed?
Well, I don't think his approach. Well, see, that's the problem. I don't know much about him outside of his views and what he campaigned for on his presidential, trail or possible presidential candidacy. But the only thing I can do is basically evaluate from what he says. And it seems like he wants to change a lot of things that the system will never agree to.
But isn't that what you want?
Well, yes, I mean, I do.
Okay. So make up your mind. He's giving you what he's responding to, what it is you say you want. You and millions of others say what we need is radical change and we need it now.
But he has to
be prepared to accept criticism, saying, "Well, I mean, you're moving too fast. You're moving too far. You got to tone down a little bit."
And that's true. But here's the thing. Like I said, I knew he would never win the presidency. And
he knew he would never win either. How about that?
I know, but here's my thing. So my thing is this. One man cannot change the whole system. And
does your name Martin Luther King kind of?
No, but you treat
me that.
Let me finish. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
Great men like King had people backing him. And so my thing is, what organization is Andrew Yang a part of in regards to helping him change the system? Because
what he had presented was mm-hmm. We are possibly looking at a very a people's candidate. So it is up to the people to get all exercised about it and mm-hmm. fall in line behind that. Look, he knew. And he accepted, I'm sure, that he wasn't going to win. But he had different reasons for being in the race. And they were all good. Now you want him to behave like Joe Biden. Did I say that?
No, I don't want him to behave like Joe. No, I don't want him to behave like Joe Biden. But at the same time, I'm wondering what is his end game? You know, I know he, you know, if he's in this race, and you know, and if he knew that he wasn't going to win, then what was his end game? What is he trying to present to the people? I mean, outside of his
ideas. He was trying to present himself something different, something completely in line with what most people said they wanted and would support. If there were such a candidate to emerge that would in fact echo those feelings, that is what he's in. He's not hiding. You can see me. You hear me. And if it accomplished only that, that's a lot. Because he had to take tremendous chances to do just that.
Well,
so we have to appreciate the fact that this is not a, you know, fly by night kind of endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very serious. And when you start out from scratch with the few pennies that you have of your own, and you're doing a thousand things at the same time, but the most important thing was to be noticed. The most important thing was to get a new message across and to get people excited about new possibilities. You won't succeed if you're too terrified to do that. You have to be brave enough to say, this is what I'm thinking, and if it makes sense to you, fall in line, support me.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just have to, we'll just have to watch it and see what happens, because if he is successful in what he does, it's a very, very unique situation, because like I said, even though one person may be in the spotlight, they're not doing all the work. They have supporters. And, you know, you mentioned Dr. King. Dr. King didn't really do it by himself. He had people backing him up.
So all over the world.
Exactly.
Not just people backing him up in Georgia.
Yes.
All over the world.
So I'd like to see the support Yang gets around, you know, not just the United States, but, you know, globally. But, you know, we'll see. Only time will tell.
Yes. Time and the energy of the people to make the changes that they say they want. We'll see. Thanks so much for contributing today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, I have to say, hi, how are you? First, I'm going to say, how are you, Utrice? As I'm listening to everybody speak, I'm just hearing, as you know, I've run for office myself, and I have to say that I think I did better than Yang, because the New York Daily News hit front page with me and called me a spectacular failure. And then the other rag called me Loser Paul. So I want to go over and say that Andrew Yang should not feel bad, because anytime you try to pose anything that's different, there's a system of people behind you. And the system is there to make sure that nothing changes, not one thing changes. And I want to address the fellow that was speaking to before, asking why Andrew Yang ran and what was the point if he knew he was going to lose. The point is, first of all, I don't think anybody ever thinks that they're going to lose. You can't go in like that thinking, I know I'm going to lose in the end. You hope and you hope and you try as hard as you can. But one of the things that you can do, this huge opportunity that you have when you are running as a candidate, is you now have a platform to put your ideas out there, put new ideas out there, and do some uncomfortable conversations that you haven't heard before. And so I think that some of the things that he put out there were things that nobody else was going to put out there. So that's a definite plus. That's a good thing. That's why it's good to have a lot of people run. I also want to address the other woman who said that Yang came up with the idea of of having no political party, open primaries. That's not true. Bernie came out with that first. And I believe that Andrew Yang came from the Bernie campaign and then ran last year in the presidential election. He even said that he was going to support Bernie if he dropped out of the race, which he did not do. So I found it very disappointing that he got behind Joe Biden. But I also think it was a very smart move yesterday. I like what he did because I myself am so I am so frustrated with the Democratic Party that I've almost had given up the idea. And yet when he came out and said, you know what, I'm going for the independent party, I thought, you know, for years, a lot of people, smaller candidates, think about trying to break away from the big parties. But, you know, it's very daunting. But I think that it's because of the fact that he ran for the president as well as the mayor, he now has some name recognition and he has a base. And I believe that there's no way he could have gotten into the presidential race if he didn't have a base. He did. And so I don't think people should be so hard on small candidates. Smaller candidates make the most difference of all the candidates. I forget the woman that was up there, but she spoke in a very progressive way. Every time she got up, everybody called her crazy and a lunatic. But I think her name was Marion, and she had a lot of good ideas that a lot of progressive people really would go for. But it was just too much for most people. They just could not accept that these progressive ideas might be able to happen and that this woman was coming up with them. But I think that I wish that people would be more open to new people when they come in and not close the door and say, well, you know what, if you don't have this, this, and this behind you, listen, give people a credit for one thing. Very few people are willing to step up to the plate and take this kind of a job on. It takes a brass you-know-what to do it. And so that you're going out there, it's almost like going on stage with no clothes on. It's a very daunting task, and you really have to have deep convictions to do it. And some people just should be convicted, and that's their point of doing it. But some people really have deep moral convictions and go out there. Very few, but they do go out there to do it. And for some reason, we have a society that's almost cannibalistic against itself. Somebody puts out an idea that's going to help you, and you go after them and call them lunatics, and they're crazy, and nobody's for this. Oh, I never heard of you. I mean, give me a break. Give people a break that are coming up, because there might be the hope of our society, and let other people come up. I have to tell you something. I listened to WBAI for years. I couldn't believe that when I finally ran for office, after I heard Scott Sumner every night, every time I heard him, he would say, everybody should run for political office. Guess what? They're all a bunch of BSers. Once you actually run, are you kidding? They can't believe it. You're bucking the system. And they all get behind these really corrupt candidates and stand there and look at you like you must be out of your mind and you're actually doing this. You're on your own over there. So you got to know when you do it, for the most part, you will be on your own. But please try to respect the people that are coming to the table and doing it for the right reason, because there's a tremendous amount of pressure from the Democratic Party to only have people that come in that absolutely will not rock the boat one inch. They don't want any rocking of the boat. They want very little turnout. They don't even want you to come. They just want a few hangers-oners to get out there, and they'll do the vote. And I'm talking about local elections now, because in my district, only 11% of the people showed up. And that's pretty heartbreaking when you consider that my district has 150,000 people in it, and 11% showed up. We have in the next district over to me, you know, a very nice woman, Carolyn Maloney, very nice, but nothing. She's done nothing except for talk about two issues the entire time she's been in office. So, you know, there's a couple of things that were nice, the 9/11. I mean, who wouldn't try to take a 9/11 campaign on, try to do a 9/11 campaign? You can only be a good guy doing that. But, you know, that and the abortion issue. But other than that, very little else do I hear from her. And you know, she's going to be 80 years old. Try getting her out of office. You could not get her out of office in a million years. Forget it. And that's the status of our progressives. That's what we have as progressives. I want to say one last thing. You know, I remember when I was running, I had the borough president's sister came into the hair salon I go to and said to me, you cannot run against Ben Kalos. You cannot do that. And I said, are you crazy? I said, I am doing it. And she said, you cannot do it. It's like, and I said, are you threatening me? I mean, this is how crazy people get. They don't want the boat rocked at all. And one of the things that people really hate is when candidates go on stage and challenge the status quo. I did that with two candidates. And I mean, each time, each one of these, you know, supposedly they were debates, well, they really were debates. They almost turned into rumbles. But the truth is I brought up some extremely important issues that people were selling us out on, like gentrification and taking incredible pay raises for themselves. And boy, oh boy, it really rocked the boat. They didn't like it one bit. But people have to do this. If we want to change things, some of us are going to have to go in and we're going to have to do it. And I think Andrew Yang is setting a path for some new blood, because I think that maybe people will start following in this way. I'm definitely thinking about, you know, running as an independent, because there's no way that I'll ever get in as a Democrat, and I'm not going to run as a Republican. So you know what? He gave me some hope yesterday. If he didn't do anything else, he gave some other people some hope. And I would ask other people to please keep your minds open to open people.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for your contribution today. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air. What have you to say? What are you thinking?
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I like you, was very pleased to hear that he was running as an independent. And I agree with what Gwen said about hopefully he creates some momentum with more candidates running as independents. Because as we can see, Andrew Yang doesn't fit in that traditional mold, whether Republican nor Democrat. First of all, he's too successful to be a Democrat. You know, typically Democrat politicians are lifelong career politicians. Those are the ones that usually are successful, like Joe Biden. Never had a job outside of Washington. And also, he's Asian at a time where there's a lot of Asian anti-sentiment in this country. Unfortunately, I think those two things might deter a lot of people from voting for him, unfortunately, because I believe he's a great candidate. I was very impressed with him during the presidential election. I believe his ideas are ahead of his time. He actually was promoting a universal income right before this pandemic hit, which would have came pretty handy for a lot of folks right about now. So I think, you know, I believe he's just too good for the people. People just don't are not appreciating a person like that. You know, and it's a shame. I think people are just stuck in this Democrat-Republican rut. It's just a shame.
Do you think race has anything to do with this?
Yes. Particularly, okay, when it comes to race, in the United States, there's only pretty much two races in the United States that are, like, you can say, acceptable. You have European and you have the African race. Those are the two only acceptable races for this system. The European, because they're the ones who came and conquered, and the African race, because they were brought here by the Europeans. And so those are the only two races that are acceptable as American. That if you look at someone and you look at them and you say, okay, you're an American. Now, if you're Asian, you could have had 10 generations born in this country as an Asian, and you will still always be looked at as an immigrant, even though Asians have been in this country for hundreds of years. Unfortunately, that's just the case. This country is extremely racist, and yes, I do believe that race, in particular, the Asian race, which Yang is of, it's going to be a handicap for him.
Well, how do you then interpret the treatment he was accorded, or that we believe he was accorded, looking from the outside in, by the Democratic Party?
Well, the treatment is basically, see, the Democrat Party, the way I see it, these parties are like, you ever see that show, American Idol?
Where no. Sorry to say.
No one on the show. I'm sorry?
I said, I'm sorry to say, but I've never seen it.
Okay, it's basically a talent show that tries to recruit talent from all over the country. Unfortunately, none of these people ever really make it in show business. Show business are people that are hand-picked and groomed and molded. Most singers, most popular singers are hand-picked and groomed by these record labels. But the real nitty-gritty good singer that might weigh 300 pounds, be 4'11", and probably is the best singer in the country, will never, ever get a record deal because they can't market that person to a shallow, materialistic society that we live in. And that's the same thing with these politicians. That's why a person like Andrew Yang, which is way more qualified than Kamala Harris, did not get picked as a vice president, for instance. He just doesn't fit that mold of someone that they can sell to the masses in this country. And part of it, like I said, it has a lot to do with race. I mean, he's independent. He has a lot of great ideas. He's ahead of his time when it comes to these ideas. He proved it when he was promoting universal income right before this pandemic hit. He was the only candidate, I believe, that was pushing for that up there. And the pandemic hits, and guess what? We could have had someone that was ahead of his time, prepared, qualified to deal with the problems of the future, because that's what's happening. Ed from Queens always talks about it's like the fourth industrial revolution, the fourth turn. They call it the fourth turning, the reset. These are events that we are living through right now, through automation and technology. Basically, it's going to get rid of all the basic, everyday, simple task jobs that are out there. The entry level jobs are not going to exist anymore. So these are the type of people that you need, the visionaries for the future, people that are thinking about the ideas of the future. But unfortunately, we're still stuck in this race environment and this, income comparison. Oh, he's a millionaire, so he's rich. And, that's the problem. We're stuck in these simple-minded things that's how we choose the people that we elect, and it's the same thing like I said with when it comes to movie stars, when it comes to singers and whatnot. These are all artificial fake people, and it's the same thing with the politicians. Most of them are all fake artificial people that are put there to make us think that those are the people that we need in office.
Well, I thank you so much for contributing today. Of course, this is a conversation that we will return to quite often because it's going to attract more and more attention. But thank you all for contributing today. I had declared for Andrew Yang a long time ago. And I did say during the time of the so-called debates, he was the only one making sense. The only one making sense. And I see he continues to make sense. Let's hear more from him. And let's see if we can get him on to talk to people about his ideas. But I'm glad that we had this time to talk about him together. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. Let's get together tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.